This week on RSVNB Update, a rundown of Master Skill Cape perks and the rework 99 perks. Also, thoughts on August's slim pack of content and looking forward to what's coming down the line in the month ahead Q&A. And Jean-Luc Picard is ready to say make it so once more. This is RSVNB Update, episode 683, recorded Thursday, August 9th, 2018. Oops, we dropped the stream. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSVNB Update. Tannis and myself are in, as we are each and every week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
So there's something different. You know, you guys listening to this after the fact, you're either listening on audio, you might be listening on the video version on YouTube, but we're actually live streaming this episode on Twitch at twitch.tv/RSVNB. If you happen to catch us live in the act, you might hear something that ends up being edited away if there's an issue or something along the lines of that. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Hear more about that in just a wee bit. So, you know, this week turned out to be a pretty full week, all things RuneScape related. You know, looking at the updates we have here at hand, the Master Skill Cape perks and the Standard Skill Cape perks. You know, I remember when these Skill Cape perks initially came out, we said, you know, some of these capes are just utterly useless. But, you know, they're being fixed. So I think we should start off with the ones that have been fixed this week, first of all, because that definitely is the biggest news here and, you know, deserves to be talked about. So,
yeah, for sure.
Are there any of these capes in here that you're going to end up using more so?
There's two of them.
Which ones are you going to end up using?
Man.
Let's start with those.
So the divination cape,
okay,
that's a good one. And the cool thing about the divination cape is if you are the one that clicks on the wisp, it's going to be set to that time. So like if you are wearing the divination cape and you click on it, someone else can be on it and it's still going to last that 5 minutes for sure. Exactly.
So it's going to, they don't last 5 minutes though, do they?
It's something like that. It's standard though.
Right.
It's standardized.
So if I click a divination wisp and then you come and join me on that, it'll be synced to me.
Yeah, and it will last that long.
All right. So, that's actually very nice.
Oh, it's huge.
Okay.
And then I think the Slayer cape, you know, anytime you get to pick your own task.
Yeah.
I mean, even though
that's
have
a master
a lot
cape.
Of, is that the master
cape? The master cape. So
Who doesn't have the Master Slayer cape, right? I mean, everyone has that, right?
All right.
But it's a good perk for the Master cape.
Yeah.
I do think
it's... Yeah, basically kind of lets you be your own Slayer Master. 20% chance. It doesn't say that in the news post, but that is what it is. Oh, it did.
Yeah.
No, they did edit that in. Nice. Okay. So Agility Cape will no longer have you fail any obstacles, regardless of what they may be. And they say this has been rolled out to work on every obstacle in-game.
I think this shines a light on how useless agility is.
Yeah.
Because where are you going to use this? Prif, you don't fail anyway. And, I mean, what's the other agility courses that people actually use? What, wilderness maybe, but you don't want a cape out there. So I don't know, you know, I mean, it sounds good on the surface, but then when you really think about it, you're like, oh, it's better than what it was, but it's still agility.
Next up is Constitution, and you know, they say that retains the current effect, and it the healing will now work in combat. And basically what that is a perk that allows you to heal up, kind of the same way if you press the little heart on your action bar. You know, I think that's a good effect. I don't know how many people are going to slot this one. I think people prefer the defense one. Obviously,
yeah,
the defense
for sure
hasn't changed, but you know, it's an option. It works in combat. So...
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I don't think it's going to be used. But
no.
Maybe you could use it for Slayer, maybe.
Yeah. This next one is big. Construction has a chance to save planks when building in your POH at 99 construction. For anyone going for that, you know, 120 construction, 200 mil, you're definitely going to want to do that because it's saving you money along the way. So I think this one's a no-brainer for anyone training construction post 99. So we'll give that one a gold star.
Just in time for double XP.
That's right. We'll get to that too. All those announcements for the end of the month. Now, crafting provides a chance to cut all your gems in your inventory and provides unlimited thread. Previously, it just provided unlimited thread. And, I mean, what good was that?
You know, how many things do we craft with actual thread? So you can do the different armors, and that's it, right?
Yeah. So that's no-go.
And is there even anything that makes that a viable crafting method nowadays?
Well, you know, gem cutting is fast XP.
Right. Fast and expensive.
And, you know, I'm assuming you would get all the XP for that.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, though. Because if you don't get the XP, why would you do that? And I mean, so if you look at any XP calculator, cutting gems is going to be the fastest, but of course the most expensive.
Right. So this was a good change because, like I said, I don't think anybody that was trying to do it efficiently or really fast was going to be using thread. So the gems makes way more sense.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to that. Do you remember the perk that came out with the the tinderbox
The pitch can.
Yeah. No. This is where you can throw a whole load of fire on the bonfires and stuff.
Oh, so, where it throws all your logs on the bonfire.
Yeah, rounds. Like pyromatic or something like that. Right. So that's what it reminded me of.
All right. So that's a bit of parallel between all of them. So that works. That's good. Divination Wisp, we talked about that one already. You absolutely love that one. Wisp will now last a fixed amount of time from when first harvested, so that's great. Fire making, fire spirits get better rewards and will now act as a light source. Previously, this one allowed you to start a fire anywhere you want.
Once again, this kind of shines a light on how dumb fire making is, how worthless of a skill it is. The light source is cool. I wish we had more dungeons where a light source was a thing. Like, they don't do that anymore, do they?
No.
And that's too bad.
It's mainly the Dorgishin dungeon by Lumbridge and whatnot. So. Yeah. And I mean, fire spirits. It's a nice little moment. And, you know, I think this goes back to last year's RuneFest skilling talk where they said they want more wow moments in the skill, and that's one way of doing it. So
yeah, I'm like, wow, get that off my screen.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow, okay. Thanks for the sapphire. Ooh, wow, a gold charm. And keep that.
Now, the fletching one was also changed, and previously the fletching cape had the ability to have you craft an extra bow.
Right. Not totally
not
bad.
Not useful.
But it could have been worse.
Right. And now this just got a lot better. It now provides a chance to make extra bolts, arrows, and darts. And I think that makes sense because everyone knows that bolts are the best way to train fletching in terms of speed. So if you can get these extra bolts and sell them off, that's all the better. And plus, remember, if you're using those things called Hydrix bolts, which are stupidly expensive, if you can get a couple extra bolts out of that, that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, and this would work with Becriminal too, right?
Yes.
That would be good.
Yeah. Now, this next one for Hunter, I think, is absolutely immaculate for anyone who is training Hunter past 99. Increases the effective range of your traps by 2 tiles. Now, remember when the Hunter areas were set up?
Yeah.
They were set up to be in a specific area. And the wider these areas are, the more creatures you can pull in. And I am personally thinking here along the lines of crystal skill chinchampas, regular chinchampas, if you want to go back there for some reason, but definitely those crystal chinchampas. And, you know, if this even were to extend to protein traps, oh boy, that's also going to do something for you too.
Oh, yeah. And the other place that this is going to be really, really, really great will be the Ark, because this is going to pull in those Selene turtles like crazy.
The Ark. Okay.
Yep. I know, but they're good XP. Trust me, if you go island hopping on your own stuff, they're... I know. It sucks, but just, yeah.
Prayer retains its current effect, but acts like a first age cape if owned.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. And, you know, I think lots of people have this first age cape but would like to use it, but ultimately can't because, you know, they just don't have the slots for it, right?
Yeah, when I was going for 120 prayer, I used the first age over the I used that over the prayer cape. The prayer cape kind of had, like, if you were doing it on an altar, it was cool, but otherwise it was kind of worthless. It's good to be able to get that extra set effect.
Yeah, and it gives you 1% extra XP. So
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, that adds up when it's an expensive skill. Yes, believe it or not.
And now I think this is the best one of them all.
Ooh.
Thieving. All drops are noted and stacked with the Ardoyan cape if owned, which the Ardoyan cape does reduce your chance of getting caught when thieving, I believe. So.
Yes. Yeah, that's wonderful.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and you're not going to get all those sharks and the clay will be, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people aren't complaining that it's too good.
Well, it is too good. It's just a question. of people not realizing it.
Don't tell them.
I mean,
they'll take it away.
All we need now is we need something that has, you know, a good thieving rate to it that you can just go to. And, you know, I wonder how this works for, those aren't nests. Those nests that you get from the elves don't have, they don't have seeds in them, do they? No.
No.
Or were those already noted? I don't know if they were.
I think the nests were, yeah.
Okay. But the dragon dust was not there.
No, that was not noted. There's a lot of, not a lot, but there's some stuff that wasn't noted and it's really annoying. So this is great. I think it's going to be perfect for Pref.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this just, you know, cements thieving as one of those skills that, you know, we talked about this a lot with safe cracking because how much time do people spend thieving? But in reality, it's such a fast skill already as it is.
Well, you know, that highly depends on if you are in a competition or not.
So I'm just going to say that this one definitely, you know, drew my attention and has to be, you know, maybe along with the Div one, the highlight of this week's update.
You know, that one, Div, the Master Slayer.
Yeah. Well, let's do the Master Capes now then. Yeah. So, the Master Capes are for, of course, only the pure 120s. And there was some discussion of this when it was going to happen as to, you know, if everyone would get a Master Cape. But no, it's not. All of the skills are not getting them, and only the four true 120s are. And of course, that's Invention, Dungeoneering Slayer, and the Master Quest Cape. The Invention Cape gives you an increased chance of receiving uncommon and rare components while disassembling. Yes, no, maybe
that's cool.
So. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you could stack that with the scavenging perk and all that, maybe you could get some rare stuff that you know, it's going to save you a lot of money. So, if you're disassembling, it's fine. Most people don't do that by hand anymore anyway. Most people are going to use their machines for that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's something, I guess. It's better than what it had.
It didn't have anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dungeoneering will give you a chance to choose which boss you face. It'll give you an increased chance of lore drops inside Daemonheim and elite dungeons, and the ability to wear your cape in Daemonheim as well.
See, I don't think that's very good. It's only good if you're going for the Master Quest cape. Otherwise,
because you need to choose which boss you face for that, right?
Well, you need the lore books.
Yeah.
I mean, the boss, yeah, that's fine, but you can already pick both of your bosses essentially to do your two floors a day for your daily. And let's face it, is anyone else dungeoneering other than their two floors of their daily? I don't know anybody that does.
I just do the sinkholes.
Yeah, I know. You couldn't be bothered to even do your to your dailies. But I don't know. And you can wear it inside. Okay, cool. What's that do? I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's that good of an option.
So. Yeah, not really. It's the weak link, for sure.
Yeah, all right. Slayer, we already mentioned, gives you a chance of choosing your Slayer task from a Slayer Master, 20% chance to make that happen. And then, you know, that makes you into your own Slayer Master. Yes, no, maybe so.
That one I like. That one, yeah. I like. You get at least you got a 20%, so this will cut down on your VIP tickets that you have to use. And if you're not using, I mean, we have a lot of the mask and stuff, so that you can kind of do your own Slayer. But anything that allows you a chance to be able to pick your own task is a really good thing. I, you know, that's always been when I first started with Slayer. That was like the biggest complaint I had. Was
you can't choose your own.
You can't choose your own, right? And so, but it's a double edge because that's kind of what makes it fun too sometimes, because you don't know what you're going to get. But yeah, I
would much rather prefer to pick myself. So, and am I going for 120 Slayer?
No. You should be.
No.
You should be.
No. No.
Oh, you don't want that comp cape? It looks good.
Comp cape? No, I'm not I don't even have the max cape.
Well, yet. But it's coming. You'll have that before Christmas.
Anyways.
Gotta work and earn it, Shane. Work and earn it.
Master Quest Cape. Range of lore-related teleports into a single item, allowing you to teleport into the Legends Guild, the World Gate, Varrock Museum, the Empty Throne Room, and several more. And in case you're wondering what several more is, they do have a link on the RS Wiki. They include the Ancient Guthix Temple, Behind the Scenes, the Champions Guild, Empty Throne Room, we already mentioned that, the Glacier Cave, the Fountains of Heroes, the Legends Guild, mentioned that, Tears of Guthix, the regular quest cape teleports you there, and the Varrock Museum, as well as the World Gate. And we did mention some of those. So, you know,
are you disappointed as a quest caper person?
No, you know, because I think they got most of the lore spots on this one.
I know, but once you have the cape, why would you ever go back there? Like, how's that ever going to help you in your game?
Well, the Glacier Cave is good for clue scrolls because, you know, there are a couple of clue scrolls up there. They're good if you want to kill glaciers, so there's that. The Fountain of Heroes, I mean, we don't really need that anymore because we have Prif, so I mean that's more of a legacy kind of thing. Legends Guild, maybe not. Tears of Guthix, absolutely. Varrock Museum for people who are doing those statues. The World Gate, we will definitely be going back there in the future, I believe, for quests. Champions Guild, no. Behind the Scenes, you know, for the clue scrolls, and you know, you can replay Gower Quest, so why not? And the Ancient Guthix Temple, I mean, that makes sense to be able to go there, I think. So, because that was, of course, from the what's the quest? Temple Desecrated. No, that's the music in the quest. While Guthix sleeps. See, I knew the music track before I knew the. Before I knew the actual quest aim. So overall, I'm pretty happy with these cape changes. How about you?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I really think that the Master Quest is a little weak, because there's so many methods to teleporting most of those places. Like Mage says here in the chat, you know, you can fairy ring the glaciers, and I forget what, there's another one to Tears of Gothics, right? I forget what it is. World Gate has the ring.
Yeah.
So I wish they could have, you know, I wish I could have done better with that one. Otherwise, the ones that they got right, they really got right. So yeah. I'm happy about
and
that.
And they needed to.
Know?
They definitely needed to.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the patch notes now. You know, some interesting things there this week, I think. So let's just have a look-see at those, because, you know, I think everyone was missing patch notes over the last number of weeks. So let's just
dive right into patch notes.
That. Yeah, and you know, this one wasn't really expected when people asked about it, but is, you know, this was a huge surprise to me to see this free-to-play construction. Various aspects of the construction skill have been made free-to-play, including Alfred Stonesman near Taverly has options to buy, move, or redecorate your house on free-to-play worlds. He also now sells modest quantities of bronze nails, bolts of cloth, a watering can, and low-level garden plants to aid new players in starting to furnish their POH. Also, free-to-players can now actually buy a house for 1KGP. Free-to-players can now enter a POH. And the POH is now accessible on free worlds, though some members-only features may still be restricted. So, parts of construction going free to play, and I think that makes sense, because we've talked about the new strategy that's been appearing over time, and that strategy is to, you know, gradually shift the game to a more of a sample for members' items, I think, and members' content, and try to encourage people to, you know, subscribe for what's there and kind of get a taste of those before you begin, which they never used to do. So that's good.
No, this is important, and I think they should probably even take this further, mainly because before you had so much stuff that was blocked off for members, but membership was $5. So you were willing to take a chance, right? You might play RuneScape for a couple days and be like, I'll take a chance. You know, I'll play this. But now, it's significantly more. And if you still only have that small amount of content to mess with, you might be like, I don't know if it's going to be worth that. So we need to focus and give free to play more to encourage them to try to take on that subscription fee, because it is higher now.
Yeah. And I think all skills to level 5 is good too, which has been in place for a long time. Yeah. Also, to further this, the garden supplier in Falador is now visible to free to play, and they can buy a bag dead tree and bag plant 1. Continuing on with this, sawdust is once again a free to play object, and they stress that it is still useless.
Uh-huh.
I got a good laugh out of that one.
I didn't understand. I'm like, I've never encountered sawdust before.
Yeah, it used to sit around at the at the sawmill by Rock, and you could pick it up. And I think back in the day, it might have been an item scamming thing, like a rare item that you can try and get people to buy. So, and hence it's still useless joke. Sawmill operator, including the operator in Taverly, is now available to free to players. The bolt of cloth is free to play. Bag dead tree and bag plant 1 are free to play objects. Free to play can now build a garden for the usual 1KGP, which includes the exit portal, decorative rock, dead tree, plant, and fern. Free to play can now build the parlor, which includes the crude wooden chair, brown rug, clay fireplace, torn curtains, and wooden bookcase. So just the bare minimum there. So what you see, what they've done is they've actually gone into the skill, and they've made it so that in addition to making the skill partially free to play, they've put out the first 3 rooms. But with the first 3 rooms, you can't build everything in the room. You can only build a few things inside the room to kind of give you a bit of a taste of what's available.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would like to see this go just a little bit more, because right now that's pretty cosmetic. You know, and our POH has limited uses anyway. So to actually, I would like to see them have a little bit of something, so they could see that it's useful. Like, because what do we use them for? Like an armor repair, prayer training, free stuff from your aquarium if you do that.
The weekly elite clue.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe give a little bit of that might, you know, like a lower level armored stand or a low level altar, something like that, because it's great that they have that. I mean, this is a good change, you know, I'm not crapping on it, but, it's really allowing cosmetics right now.
Yeah. You know? The kitchen only gets, two hot spots, the fire pit and the cat blanket. So that's,
well, that's do limited. You get a menagerie?
Nope, you don't get a menagerie.
So you can have a cat blanket, but you can't have a cat.
I think they made Gertrude's cat free to play, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but where's it going to live?
That's a good point. I don't know. I hate cats. Let's move on. Okay. Free-to-play can now read free-to-play books in a POH bookcase for which they have met the requirements. The menu for moving and redecorating a house has been rewritten, and, you know, I think they need to do that just, you know, with the general quality of life stuff that's been coming into game. And the following features are disabled in POHs on free-to-play worlds to accommodate lapsed free-to-play and house visits, including spawning and storing of members' pets in the menagerie, pet feeder, withdrawing members' equipment from the costume room, the study lectern, offering and burning incense at a chapel altar, aquarium and dungeon access, scrying pool and portals to P2P areas, the boxing ring, and the clockwork bench have all been disabled. Which makes sense, because those are the free-to-play features. So, all right. So that's free-to-play construction. I think we can move on to the beach now. You ready for these?
Ready to go to the beach.
Yeah, I haven't actually been to the beach yet this year in RS. I've been just focusing on other things. I mean, the divination energy is just it's just too compelling.
It is.
Just too
compelling.
Especially
when you can buy all the rewards.
Yeah. So,
Mr. Owl, landscape should be more social. I'm just going to hang out. The whisk call. Okay. I hear you.
Players will no longer be able to use death touch darts on Claudia, which, you know, was a trolling thing, but I actually think it's quite amusing that people would waste a death touch dart on that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
The starfish location used for one of the beach sandy clues is now visible in minimum detail mode. And once again, highlighting this because minimum detail mode doesn't get too much discussion, but there are people who still play with that. So that needs to be thought of. Players should now have their beach progress reset correctly if they log into a clan citadel on daily reset. So there's something with the instancing from citadels that was causing the beach to not reset. Which is oddly peculiar when you think about it.
Yeah, I don't understand what that could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Weird.
And players who have eaten their fill of ice cream shortly before the heat wave weekends will begin to before the heat wave weekend begins, will now be able to eat the entitled increased amount. Boy, that was a tough sentence to say.
That was a mouthful, huh?
Yes, it was. A mouthful of ice cream.
Okay.
Now some fixes to the clan changes from the previous week. The clan muting broadcast rank can now be toggled via broadcast settings to determine who can mute and whether that mute gets broadcast. I don't know why you would want that broadcast, but that's just me. Clan broadcast.
Let it be a lesson to the others.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch it.
We haven't muted anyone yet. Have you guys?
I don't think so. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I think people are generally
good. I don't
follow
my chat real close, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
All right. Clan broadcast will now be sent to the clan chat box, while clan guest broadcast will now be sent to the clan guest chat box. So obviously a little bit of confusion there and sending broadcast to the general chat window rather than just a clan window. And I mean, that makes sense. So when setting a clan login message, an additional broadcast will go out to all online clan members at the time, telling them what the message says so they don't need to wait to log out to see it. So, you know, if you have, you know, as you guys do, 250 people online in your chat, you can make that happen and have them see it right away. So if you're a deputy owner, you can now check what your current login message says by clicking on set login clan message and pressing the check option. And this is
isn't the deputy owner the only one that can do that message?
No, because deputy owner is the silver key right below gold key.
Oh, is it the owner that is the only one that can do
no,
that
no, message? No. It's deputy owner can do the message.
Okay.
So, and with that, and you know, we have a bunch of deputy owners running around because we wanted to make use of this. So we bumped our previous rank was overseer, so we bumped that rank up to deputy owner now.
Oh, you got a key now, Shane?
I've had a key since 2015.
Oh,
yeah.
You're a key. You're the big shot.
You know, I think you could ask anyone in Clan Quest how many of them there are, but I think there's definitely 20 plus. Because it's just the way the ranks are structured. It's really not a big deal to us. So.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Well, it's always a big deal to be a deputy owner. You're just being humble.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we teach that to our people as well in Clan Quest. You know, teach them to be humble because, you know, it's an issue of, you know, granting trust. And when people are granted trust, I think they're more likely to reciprocate in not abusing it. And that tends to be the general thing that we've learned as well. So,
that's right. Have high expectations. People will live up to them. If you have low ones, then they don't have as high of a bar to go for, right?
That's right. Now, this one was amusing. You can only give a clan vex or a clan cloak to members in your clan only. So you could go before this update came out and you could, you know, be spreading the love of your clan or, as some would say, preaching the gospel of your clan. And you could give the vex or the cloak to anyone you wanted, and they would have to take it.
Wow.
We should have done that more before this update came out, because that's just utterly amusing. I just find that one really funny.
They had to take it?
Well, I mean, it would just appear in their inventory, kind of like a gnome ball does, right?
Oh, really? that's hilarious. Right on.
Next up, the clan resources given to you from the loom, the kiln, the furnace, and the barbecue skill plots have been increased to make it in line with the Avatar update. And, you know, I think that was to be expected because, you know, when it comes down to it, you definitely want to have parity between all the different spots out there. So that's good. That's good. Iron Men will now get a 50% skill plot boost when attuning to the stone in their clan citadel. How do we feel about this?
If it was group Iron Man, fine. But it's kind of against the spirit of Iron Man, right? I don't even know why do Iron Man have clans anyway? Like, I don't even get it. Is it because they're not allowed in other clans? They're not allowed in our clan.
Maybe.
So, I mean, I guess if you want to have
some
friends,
them in.
But
we let them
in. We don't let them go away.
Why don't you guys let them in?
No, I don't know. You can guess if you have an Iron Man account, but it was just a decision made at the time because a lot of people were starting, and we have a thing where you can only have one account with us.
Oh, okay, I see.
So, like, you can guess all you want, but yeah, no.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Players can no longer go above their weekly resource cap at a clan citadel.
We were going above it? Yep. How much above it?
I don't
know.
They
always stopped me and didn't let me go above.
I don't know. It's amusing, but hey.
Yeah, that's great. So some of these clans, that poor guy had like 5 alts, bought it with membership just to be able to keep the citadel going.
Ooh.
You laugh, but I actually knew a clan like that.
Yeah,
I did.
You know, it makes sense. Makes sense.
I knew a guy like that.
Yeah. Client system broadcast will be sent when you reach 100% of resources your avatar has gathered to show the clan's avatar's gathering process progress.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's this process, Shane? That's a new one.
Yeah. And Iron Men can now gather resources for your clan using their avatar. So they're not really doing anything. They're just having the avatar follow them around.
Okay. Still.
Yeah. And you know, there seem to be a lot of questions coming up about Iron Men.
Well, Iron Men are running into the OS problem, right? They're morphing into something they weren't intended to be.
Yeah. And the question is, how do people feel about that?
Well, I mean, they seem to be behind it. I know the OS community has been pretty supportive of everything they have done. So,
yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't know if the Iron Men are like that, but it really just seems anti-Iron Man to do all those changes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't have a dog, or I don't have a...
A horse in the race.
Yeah, it's a horse in the race. Thank you, Shane.
All right. Moving on to ninja fixes then. When you buy herb packs from the Void Knight at Pest Control, you won't be charged for more than you buy, alongside an updated tool tip. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Buttons on the backpack interface will now work and display as intended when interacting with them in the hero interface. And of course, the hero interface is the big one. That's the catch-all that tells you everything about your character. So that's nifty. Players will be able to filter between free and members' content for each skill within the skill guide. Once again, more free-to-play quality of life fixes. I'm happy about that.
Good.
One Castle Wars game is no longer required to view the chat option on Lanthus's to obtain the how many games achievements. You can basically just ask him that at any point in time. Quick prayer preset tooltips from the action bar will now display the prayers selected within that tooltip. And oh boy, this is a big one. I want to just underscore how important this is with a picture of this one, because previously you would have these tooltips, and what you would have to do is you would basically just have to go there and see whether or not they would pop up, and lo and behold, here you are. You can actually now see that, oh, there's Soul Split on this quick prayer toolbar. And there we go. So
yeah, that is nice.
Very, very nice. All right. Moving on to the remaining patch notes here that we got for this week. Fixed an issue where the player's name, title, and quick chat bubble, along with the press enter to chat line, have been adjusted to sit centrally within the chat box. And the shop interface has been updated to bring it in line with modern interface standards. And you can see this. And once again, this is another mobile-centric update. So definitely helping progress things along and making the game a lot easier to use for mobile. So that was definitely a good one. And finally, the quest interface has been graphically updated. They removed the old graphics buttons and frames and replaced them with a more modern version, including an updated quest journal, quest overview, and quest start image. And the font on the quest list has also been updated. So, big change for that. And I'm just going to actually do have a video of how this one works. So we'll just have a look at that. And so basically what you can see here is that this was indeed, for all intents and purposes, an RS Mobile update, because it's got the same general theme that all the other modern interfaces have. They're light, they're what should be easily resizable, so they can be resized down, and the font is a lot easier to read than it was before, and I presume that font will also scale as well. So it looks good, and I hope that this is a sign of good things to come going forward.
Like sizable font,
yeah,
be wonderful.
You know, we're definitely hoping for that.
So. Yeah.
All right, and the final patch note: we have made code optimizations to the prayer skill, including the way that they work. I don't know what they'll be, but hey, it's a thing.
Well, we need to figure this out. What does that mean? So the prayers are working differently now, or
they're working
what?
Different internally, I want to say, but under the hood, or they're working different under the hood. But when it comes down to what you and I see at the end of the day, they're going to be absolutely the same. That's my guess.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's not too big of a deal.
So
a
big deal. That has nothing to do with how we are. I mean, that's an internal thing.
Yeah, it's purely internal from the sounds of it, so it should be fine.
Okay, cool.
All right, let's have a look at August month ahead. Another quiet month.
Are you getting flashbacks? If this July and August kind of feels a lot like last year's July and August.
It's the same thing that was happening with expansions. And, you know, I think it's about time we address this. And, you know, I think it comes down to that there is definitely something going on at Jagex, whether it's the unannounced MMO or whether it's mobile. The release schedule seems to be being dictated by something else. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But definitely something else going on.
There's something that we aren't privy to. I hope it's not just mobile. I feel like that is... See, because they've been working on mobile for a while, and it wasn't really hurting us in the beginning of the year. So, you know, why would it be so detrimental right now?
Why would it be a problem now? Yeah.
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 I don't know.
No. All right. So, double XP weekend, August 31st to September 3rd.
Ooh. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes. Yes.
I am bummed. I might actually be gone.
That's the Labor Day weekend.
Actually, yeah, there's a good chance I'm going to be gone, actually. Yes. But I am going to a Renaissance festival, so
okay,
I guess
that
I
works.
Will be living double XP instead of playing it that weekend,
you
right?
know, I honestly think they should have kept it at the tail end of September or mid-September.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems to work better.
No, I feel that was pushed in because there wasn't crap going on in August. It's unfortunate. But hey, double XP.
It's a nice lead into Runefest.
It is. Get that XP hangover. But is it a good lead in? Because, like, is it enough time? Because, you know, after that weekend, it takes like a week or two. You don't even want to play. You know, it's like...
Well, the POH farm is coming out after double XP weekend. First update after that, I believe. So.
Yeah, that seems to be a real hard hitter. It's a big weekend.
Yeah.
Well, then again, RuneFest isn't until October, though, right?
So yeah, October.
You get a whole month, I guess, to recover. That's okay. Yeah.
Let's see. So, August was basically the skill cape perks and Elite Dungeon 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh.
Coming out on August 13th, you know, and basically we've already talked about this before. There's been the rundown of it. It's going to be harder than ED1. New tectonic items.
Yeah.
Rewards for shifting tombs and Slayer. And, you know, I don't think there's much else to say here. So I think we should just, you know, at this point, just jump into the Q&A. That they did this week, because there was actually some stuff that came from that and provided some insight onto at least their side of it and what they want to broadcast right now to the community. So
right, yeah.
Basically, they said, we're not talking a lot about the future right now because of reveals that are on the way for RuneFest. RuneFest is early October.
Mm-hmm.
So September might be kind of dry, too, from the sounds of this.
Yeah. And I didn't think the stream itself was all that encouraging with some of the things that we'll be touching on here a little bit later.
Yeah. Including TAP being suspended until January.
Mm-hmm.
They say the updates going forward will keep the spirit of TAP, as in there'll be the developers working on them will be passionate about the updates, which of course they are. Anyone who works at Jagex is. You just have to watch any of them and the way they talk to the community. They love what they're doing. And it's just a question of being able to fit those kind of things in. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little unfortunate though, because, you know, everything we got last week with the clan update, that was a tap project. So, you know, some things can be pretty good. And I don't know if we're going to get that now. At least for a while, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not gone, but for the foreseeable future, it's suspended.
Then there was a quick run to the Skilling Cape perk from this week. They said a couple of the ones used were really low, specifically Fire Making, Fletching, and Hunter. They were being used only 10 times a day across the entire game.
But that's just because Hunter isn't that popular of a skill. Once people start using it, they're going to use it.
Yeah. And these were the old ones that weren't being used that much. That should clarified. So.
Okay. Yeah. The old ones. Okay.
The agility cape is still up in the air about whether or not that's a good proc to have.
There's nothing to make. I mean, agility is what it is. So it's probably as good as you can get, but. Without reworking the agility skill. Yeah, I mean, what good is agility in a world where we don't walk or run anywhere?
Yeah.
So its main purpose is died 10 years ago.
Okay. Now, there was a question about how the teams are structured. There are 6 teams currently working in Jagex, the mining and smithing team, the player-owned farm team, and after a team rejigger will be placed on an extra-large project that's announced at RuneFest. And extra-large is the level of the mining and smithing rework. The third team is working on a large project to be announced at RuneFest, also producing the Christmas content. The fourth team is the Dragonkin lab team, i.e. Elite Dungeons. They're working on also some small and medium-sized updates that will be announced at RuneFest, including at least one quest. The fifth team is the Quest Points shop, the Premier Club exclusive content, and the Ninja Fixes. So that's what we talked about before with the Quest Points shop, and everyone doing Ninja Fixes is on this team. And then the final team, the sixth team, is a 2-person team revolving around events work and including new promos. And they did have the news that they have new hires, including developers and QAs, that allow them to bring in a 7th team. So they are basically adding in this extra team to bring more updates here. But let's just have a look here and see what everyone is working on. And I think you can tell why we have the lack of updates currently. Mining and smithing, very big. Player-owned farm, very big. Third team, large project, announced at RuneFest, very big. Dragonkin Lab, coming out next week. Quest Point Shop, that's a ways away. Events work, we know how the community feels about that. So that's why we're in this position we're in now, is that all these updates that are currently being worked on, you know, if you look at this, the mining and smithing team, the player-owned farm team, the large RuneFest project team, and the Dragonkin Lab team, there are 4 teams right there who are in the process of working on updates that are in the pipeline at some varying degree.
Yeah. I'm real curious to find out what we're going to find out at RuneFest. And I feel like, man, I feel like the mining and smithing should be close.
They said they were going to announce a date at RuneFest.
Well, in that second beta, maybe they're not doing a second beta now. I don't know. But it's got to be soon.
The second beta, they said, would only come when it is almost ready for launch, because to have everyone play it, they need to basically make all the changes and put them in the live game. So.
It just comes down to this,
and I think that answers a lot of the questions about what's going on and where all the developers are at this point in time, because I just want to point everyone to this rather interesting news post here. If I just go back to it, if you look at this old school news post here, there's now an old school mobile team. There's the unannounced MMO. There is the mobile team.
Well,
and yeah, but I think what I want to read into this is that the majority of the issues are likely coming from the fact that resources are tied up with mobile.
You know, I would like to read into that. And if that is the case, then mobile better be coming out very soon. What I don't want to be the case is a repeat of last year. And we're running into a repeat of last year again, because you just laid out, what, 3 or 4 big projects, right? So is that expansions by another name? I mean, they're kind of going down the same road again. Now, look, I like big updates. I do. But I also like what they were doing this year. And what they were doing this year that was so good was they were giving us a big-ish update, but they were also surrounding it by some smaller, good updates.
Yeah.
So now we've got this, like, last quarter of the year and all of these major big things stacking up, and that's great, but all those big things better hit, because if they don't, then it's going to feel even drier.
Yeah. What they need to do is, you know, it's good that the Team 5 doing the quest point shop and ninja fixes and whatnot, that team is good. That's good. The Dragonkin Lab was, of course, a big update. And that one, you know, they say they're going to small and medium-sized updates after that. And I think that's what needs to happen with that. So that's good. But, you know, looking at this, that still leaves about half the teams who are tied up with large updates. And right. It's just a question of how can you fit these into the pipeline and what is in the pipeline right now? Because we have seen that prior to the release of Skill Cape perks, the last update to hit game was effectively ED1.
Right. Well, and
the
okay,
clan
so up,
you can call the clan update an update, I think. But
yeah.
Is it?
It's
like,
well, it was a TAP project.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's something.
It's a very important update.
Yeah. But it's not what we're used to. And think about this, Shane. Think about this. ED1, now the Dragonkin, so ED2, and Solak. We've had six months of this year has been taken up with PVM update. Great. Wonderful. If you're into that. What about the rest of us? I mean, once again, we're the redheaded stepchild of the community that's not really getting much love right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm hesitant.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bum you out,
Shane.
No.
I'm just hesitant to say anything with authority on this because I don't know what's happening aside from this list. It just appears as though they committed to a lot of large updates. And the players were not aware of what that would do to the update flow. Because if you look at this, Dragonkin Lab, large rune fest project, player owned farm, mining and smithing, 4 of 6 teams, 4 of 5 teams, if you don't count the events team, are all on big updates.
And I mean, that's fair, but is that
fine.
Not exactly what we ran into? Yes.
Except they're going to come out in one shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question I think to ask, you know, mining and smithing will have a lot of playability to it.
Yeah.
Will the player-owned farm have a lot of playability to it?
I honestly, I don't want to break your heart here, Mr. Farmer, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think the farm is going to be like the ports.
It looks pretty simple. Actually, from just a general sense of it. It's something you're going to work into your daily farming runs, and it's not going to be an expansion onto the skill. It's going to be, I think, the level of safe cracking.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it'll be fun, you know, and that counts for something. But I don't – yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's not an this great addition to the skill itself. It's not a lot. We'll see. I don't know. I don't want to condemn it before it comes. Maybe it'll be great. I mean, I think there are aspects of it that will be great, but is it fundamentally adding a lot to the skill of farming. And that's what we'll have to see.
All right. Well, then, let's talk about what they talked about with ED2. There's a good quote here. A delayed game is eventually good, but a rushed game is crap forever.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the mantra they're taking with ED2. So, I think that's good. Shows that, you know, things are on the right track, and that's the way it should be. So, good. Now, things that we can expect from this dungeon, you know, I'm not going to go over this because we've went over this before on the show here. Moronics, they say there's now a mutated dodge ability, mutated fury, mutated flurry, mutated barge, all those new mutated abilities. And what they're effectively wanting to do with this is to make melee more of a mobile version of combat, kind of like magic and range can be. And what they want to do with this is make melee channeled abilities so that they can become damage over time. And the key example here is the assault ability. So you can put it on your target, run away, and do something else.
Yeah. Fine. Sure.
It's needed. And they say this will increase damage across the board as well as mobility. And they're doing this too because they hope to equalize the combat triangle further. Which is encouraging, I think, for melee.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before with David and how everyone, you know, falls down to magic or range depending on what they're up to. So it's good.
Yeah. To give you a viable choice would be nice.
They've doubled the number of achievements as well in this. They've taken it from 17 up to 39. I don't know if people like that, but it's a thing.
Sure. Whatever.
there'll be a chance to get celestial hand wraps, the lucky Dragon King coin, which drops the Diddykin pet, lots of dragon stones, dragon scales, disassemble an Alk item similar to ED1. Elite Dungeon rewards are staying away from Tier 92 melee-based items because those are being saved for the mining and smithing rework, they say.
Which is ironic because we know that
those
Tier 92 are not even T92.
We had a huge discussion on that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, No. There is one that is actually Tier 92. It's the power armor one.
Yeah,
the one you have to work a lot for. Yeah.
Right.
It's the tank armor that's not Tier 90. It's a tier 90 tank armor. That's the one that people are concerned about. Yeah. So, and Mod Orion's final words on the stream pertaining to this were, "Go to Elite Dungeons so that I can love myself again."
Well, who was what mod was that?
Orion.
Oh, Orion. Turns out you're not going to like yourself very much because I ain't going. I want to go. I mean, we'll have to get Dave. Maybe he could hold my hand. I need somebody to hold my hand, Shane.
Yeah.
Can't make it. Yeah. It's too difficult. Yeah. Actually, I don't even know if I can. Oh, wait. No, they did change it. So you can go if you hadn't made it through the first one now,
right? Oh,
they
did.
Yeah,
okay.
I thought
That's
so.
Good. That's good.
I thought so. But, I mean, if you can't make it through the first one, you probably don't have a chance in the second one anyway. I'm going to need help. I need help.
Yep.
Lots of help.
It's going to be a combat update, and we're going to grin and bear through it.
Bend over and touch your toes.
That's right. Next up, they talked about Rune Capers, which is coming this month. It's going to be a time-limited event. You'll be able to get a skilling cape and a combat cape, and then you get a final cape by combining both capes. You'll just get the currency by playing the game, the same way you did with any other currency event. You know, I think this one will be good because there's going to be benefits for each of these capes, so that might entice more people.
A benefit? What's the benefit?
I don't know.
See, I don't like the whole cape thing. You work too damn hard on getting capes in this game, so no one's going to wear some rinky-dink cape that you did in a currency event. Like, am I going to take my 120 prayer off for that? Is someone going to take their comp cape off for that? Are you going to take your 120 farming cape off for that, Shane?
No.
No. Exactly. So it's Give me some boots or something. I mean, I don't know. A cape, just no one's going to take their cape off. You work too hard for your cape. Like, that's status.
Yeah.
Like, that's our, like, status symbol. So, I mean, it's a great idea, but wrong item.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it might just be another experiment like RinPass was.
It may be.
The player-owned farm, same info as mentioned previously. Not much has changed on that. There will be a dedicated farming stream on the August 22nd, they said. Mm-hmm. Rune Pass retrospective with stats and what's happening going forward, along with results, is being compiled now. Have something to announce on that sometime this month. So that should be interesting. Personally, I think it's going to be a success. I think they're going to come out saying it was a success.
Yeah, they really pulled the blue balls on that one. I was like, oh, yes, and then no. Oh, we'll tell you more later. Oh, crap. Okay. I was bummed.
Then a question came in about unfinished business. How is unfinished business going? And they ran through this list. Invention Batch 2, the Clue Scroll Overhaul, the Mining and Smithing Rework, Shattered World Improvements, the Achievement System, the Bank Rework, the Evil Dave Quest, Daily Scape and Graphics Reworks. And they said the vast majority of these are done, except, of course, for the Mining and Smithing Rework. We'll be getting a date at RuneFest. They fixed Shattered Worlds in the interim, but they want to make it a better minigame on the whole.
did they really? No, but I you know what, I was really glad they included this in the stream. This is something that they don't do enough. They're kind of, yeah, I'll save that for another day. Anyway, you gotta tell the people what you did good. You gotta brag about yourself, especially right now, because it's been a rough couple months. So you got to bring everyone's attention back to not what we're doing wrong, but we did do all this stuff that we said we're going to do. We did it. You like it. Don't hate us, please.
Yeah.
You know, that was good. Then they need to do that more.
And also with this, the bank rework, you know, that is being held up by engine work and mobile. They said hopefully there will be something to announce soon on hitting a certain mobile milestone. And I think that's the milestone they talked about in the last mobile stream, where they said that they need to get to a point where they can start feeding it updates like they would normally with the game, and that would effectively mean an open beta from the sounds of it. And they said hopefully soon. And you know, yeah. They didn't necessarily say that'll mean an open beta. I'm just extrapolating that's what that means for me. I could be completely wrong on that.
You know what? I never got to be in the beta. Did you, Shane?
Nope.
Oh, well, then they can keep that beta, and I'll play it when it comes out.
Yeah, I think
that's how I feel about that.
From the sounds of it, they were looking for the first time. It was more focused around people who played a lot of RS, a lot. And then the most recent beta seems to be more focused around combat. So that's what they're focusing on, and, you know, who they're talking with. So, Dailyscape, all game updates designed going forward are going to have the question of Dailyscape in mind, so you don't need to come back to them at all the time. And graphics reworks, they said they're adopting new industry standards, which invalidated a large part of the work on the Sears Village graphical rework. And effectively what happened here is the goalposts had to be moved because they changed the way the system worked.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want something that is, you know, up to standards 3 years ago coming in the game, and then it's out of date as soon as it comes in. You're like, oh, I don't want that.
Yeah, do not want. Someone asked about a World Event 2 kind of event, like a classic World Event from 13-14. They said, yeah, maybe. Watch for announcement soon. Wonder what that could be about.
Yeah, we'll find out at RuneFest, I think.
Modmark Friends chat update from Game Jam. Mod Osborne is going to look into that. Alchemical Onyx Jewelry is being worked on. Group Iron Man more soon. A certain mobile milestone needs to be hit. It doesn't seem very far away. That's what Mod Osborne said.
Okay. Well,
All right.
There we go.
Let's move on to the Solomon General Store items. And, you know, Solomon's General Store doesn't really come up that much anymore, does it?
It doesn't, because it's kind of stale. We hear so much about Treasure Hunter and everything, and I really feel like they put way more energy in Treasure Hunter than Solomon's, and I wish it was the other way around, because I think people are totally cool with Solomon's General Store. Like, there's nothing in there. It's all cosmetic. It's keepsake items and dyes and emotes, and you know what I mean? It's all, like, focus on that, guys.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And you know what they ended up doing here is they end up running a competition for these, and there's a variety of items that are going to be available for this, and you know there's an actual vote going on in game about this. But right now the options that are available are the Fairy Drake, which include day and night versions, and this would just be a standard companion pet. Kind of looks like a Pokemon.
Oh. Ew, really? what? No.
Yeah. So that's one
but
thing.
But the other drakes are so cool. Like,
well, I mean, that's why it's called a fairy drake.
I'm bummed. I get excited when we're going to get a new dragon, but not a Pokemon dragon.
Yeah. And that's what it kind of looks like.
Yeah, okay.
Next one was Day of the Dead Muncher, which is just a general companion pet. This one kind of looks like a dog, a bone dog, I guess you could say. So I was happy about that one. Mm-hmm. Headscarf, flower wreath, fruit wreath, and phoenix feather hairstyles. This is the one I voted for.
The headscarf?
Yeah. And the flower wreath and the phoenix hairstyle. Phoenix feather hairstyles. So, and the reason I did that, I think, is because it looks the most colorful. So.
Yeah.
And then party wyvern, caper wings, dependent on new tech slot. To be determined. Okay.
We're off.
Really? I'm not getting a...
Yeah, we're off.
I don't see... I have green.
Okay, we're back.
Okay. All right. That might have been temporary.
Yeah.
Party Wyvern. And, you know, I'm not even going to edit that out at this point. You know, we're just going to show the world the way we are, you know?
Be your authentic me.
next one is chic and dapper festival wear outfits.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, those ones look neat, and I especially like the pencil crayon sketch there done. And you can vote on these in game. So what you can do is you just go into the game system and you can vote on them. And as of time winning, before we started the show, the Party Wyvern cape or wings was winning. Of course, the one that is dependent on new tech slot to be determined.
Mm-hmm.
The headscarf, flower wreath, and fruit wreath and phoenix feather hairstyles are at 20%. The fairy drake, the one that looks like a Pokemon, is at 24%. The chic and dapper festival wear is at 15%. And the day that it had muncher companion pet is at 13%. And you know what I think killed the muncher companion pet is the fact that its prototype, its drawing that they're showing on the news posting was just a you know, basic pencil sketch.
Yeah, and the other pencil sketch didn't do its good either. So that could be it.
Mm-mm. So, which one did you vote for?
I haven't voted.
Okay.
So I was waiting to see if you could persuade me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you like vibrant colors, go for the hairstyles. I don't think we should go for the Pokemon one. Failing the headscarf and hairstyles, I would go for the festival wear.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was leaning towards, but I could go for hairstyle.
All right.
That's all right.
Sounds good to me. All right. I think it's time to give thanks. What do you think? Or no, it's not time to give thanks yet. That'll be very soon.
It's not?
No, it's not. There's actually a little update that got snuck in that I forgot to mention here, but we'll just mention it in passing. Have you ever wanted to buy a RuneScape-themed mousepad or a RuneScape-themed mug?
Yes.
Well, you can now do that, or you might have the option of doing that. So there's a little survey here. And they have a bunch of options here, ranging from that one was.
I want both. Can
yeah, there's the Bird and the Beast, Bandos and Armadill, Zaros, Crunchy and Tim is also an option as well. Plague's End. So yeah, there's lots of options here in the survey, and these would be huge mouse mats, like those big mouse mats that sit on your entire desk.
Yeah, I want that.
I personally
it's
going to
be Zaros, though, and I don't.
You
I
think?
Don't want that. Yeah, everyone is in. It's the Zaros cult, man. Like it'll win. I'm telling you. Yeah, it's bummer. Oh well.
So I would personally love to get a mug with Crunchy and Tim on it, just because that's iconic. From going back to when RS first opened up, so
I'd like to have the Bird and the Beast.
That was good.
My favorite world event, and that would have been cool.
Okay,
I'd like that one.
All right, well, I'm expediting this because I actually just want to give thanks right now.
Yeah, we should.
I think that's definitely a good time to do this right now, and this podcast and whatnot. We started this whole Patreon thing back in, what was it, June? And, it's actually been really successful. And we're going to just take a moment here and thank some wonderful Patreon subscribers: Adam T, Rory W, Cody T, Nora, Fury, Kyle, and Brock H. Thank you guys for supporting us on Patreon and enabling us to do what we're doing now, barring, little technical difficulties across the way. it wouldn't be possible without that. And in case you're wondering what all this is about, you can check it out at patreon.com/rsbnb. But basically what we do is we offer three different tiers. The first tier, for $1 a month, you'll get a special mention in the show notes, and you help us fund the costs of hosting and production of RSBNB Update. For $3 a month, you get a special VIP rank in Discord and a special mention on the podcast and early access to our show notes, in addition to everything else. And for $5 a month, you'll receive a shout-out on the podcast every week and exclusive access to the outtakes we use for the clip show. Those are real fun, especially from last week, weren't they?
Yep.
And, that's how we ended up doing our monthly bit, which I can say our next one will be focused on the PMod. Thank you to all you Patreon folk who voted on that. That's going to be a fun one to record, I think.
I think so.
Get into a lot of that. The video show, the live show, and, you and I talked about this, and you basically said, we should do something once we get the streaming thing sorted out. We should do something live stream related. And, if we reach our next tier at $60 a month, we will live stream one of our RuneScape play sessions each Monday, showcasing the game update of the week. And I think you said you were going to take that on, should we get there. So that should be fun to see.
For sure. Yeah.
But all of that and more can be found at patreon.com/rsbnb. So thank you, everyone, for supporting us. Truly means the world to us. You guys are great.
Yes. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Because, it's so cool to
see things happening, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just to know what you do is appreciated is huge.
Yes.
It's really huge.
And as you can see, we're 86% of the way to those live streams. I added that as an official goal today.
Awesome. Awesome. We're gonna get there. I can't wait.
We will.
Mondays, man. Mondays.
Yes, we can.
Here we go.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yeah.
All right. So
si se puede.
Hmm?
Si se puede. Right? Is that
translation, please?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
You don't speak Spanish, Shane?
No.
Oh, you're up there in the frozen north. That's right. Frenchies.
French. That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we do have a question for this week, and it kind of pertains to the live stream that we talked about. With the current management team being in their places for 4 years and having constantly let the community down, would you like to see some fresh blood at the top of Jagex? And what large changes would you advise? And that's from Autumn Elite via Twitter.
I thought when I first saw this question, I thought that was a really excellent question. And I don't know that I agree with the framing of it, though. Like, I think it's a great question, but there's been some fails, but there's also been some successes. And I don't know if I agree with they're constantly letting us down. So,
right,
I don't know.
Because what you need to do is you need to look at deep sea fishing, clue scroll overhaul, invention batch 2. All of these updates that were leading towards that turned out just well. Oh, and yeah, we probably lost the stream again, but
we just
you know, you look at what we had, safe cracking, all these updates, and I got it back up, so don't worry about it. We're good.
Okay.
All these updates that were leading into, you know, June, I think came out pretty well up to the release of ED1. And I think ED1 was well. It just was tuned perhaps a little too high.
Right, and we're going to run smack dab into it on Monday. It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know – and, you know, I don't know what the benchmark is for constantly letting the community down. I would like to hear more of that because, you know, I don't know what it means to constantly let the community down. Does that mean not hitting the mark of releasing mobile at the start of the year in terms of beta, or finding success with expansions last year? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe shipping out, you know, constant updates throughout the year, which we're seeing not happening right now.
Yeah. You know, the way I see it, some of the mistakes I think were honest mistakes that they made a choice, and it could have went either way. Like, I take the expansions experiment for a minute. Expansions could have turned out well, but what it didn't end up suiting RuneScape. It didn't end up suiting our community. It wasn't a good fit.
Right.
But I don't hold it against them for trying it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was okay. And in fact, I think some of the people in the management right now are the exact right people that we need for right now. I think Mod Osborne is in the best position to utilize his skills.
You just
and,
need to watch him
everything.
Speak and see the passion.
Yeah.
And that's what you need in a position like that. Another one who is constantly going above the duty and Call of Duty and making sure that messaging is going out is Mod Shawnee. It's when the messages don't come out that the problem happens, like with Rune Pass.
Yeah. And until we know how mobile is going to be, if it's going to be worth the crap or not, or what the new MMO is, then I can't really say if the upper positions are taking it in the right way. If those two things aren't good, then I would say, it's time for a change.
For a good discussion on that.
Or a good discussion on it, at least. But if they pull through, then who knows? So far, I feel like when it comes to the upper echelons of Jagex kind of management here, things have evolved as it was supposed to. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it starts with the Gowers, and I think that when it was time, it went on to that next level. And I think, you know, Mod MMG shepherded it for a while, and then it was time for another change. And I think where we're at right now, it remains to be seen until these big ticket items come out, then we'll find out if it's time to change. But when it comes to Mod Osborne and, like you said, Mod Shawnee, nah, they're on the money. They're on the money.
Yeah. And I'd also like to point out that the current CEO, Phil Mansell, is indeed Mod Pips, and he has been with the company forever. He knows what's going on. And that signals to me that it's now – Jagex is now a company that is focused purely on RuneScape.
Yeah. Except for our unannounced items that could be cookie.
So, you know, I think if the current strategy doesn't work and if mobile is unsuccessful, you're going to see more than a shake up at the top. And I don't know. I don't know if it's right to say what I'm thinking of saying, Tanis. You know what we've talked about before. You think we should say that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Rip off the scab.
So anyone who follows corporations for time will know that – you know, there are ups and downs in a corporation's life cycle, and these are normal. But you can have also at the times where you have insane periods of growth and insane periods of growth in the terms of profit. And, you know, we're seeing that with Apple. Apple, you know, made record profits, and they did that largely for show last week, and we talked about that in tech news. And that's fine, and that's good. And that's to send a signal to the market because they're going to be putting out new iPhones in a month and a bit. So they needed to do that. Now, keep in mind that we have RS Mobile. We have a new monetization scheme being tested. We have the numbers from last year that I talked about in the reality of microtransactions in former article. If you go to informer.rsvb.com and just search for reality of microtransactions, you'll find it. And the amount of money coming in and the amount of profit coming in. So Jagex is doing fine from a monetary sense at the moment. There is no doubting that. That's not going to change year over year. You're not going to go from making tens of millions of pounds profit to making a loss unless you do something absolutely stupid, and they haven't to that degree. Now, what this is signaling to me is that this goes back to the question, would you like to see some fresh blood at the top of Jagex and what large changes would you advise? Is that we have RS Mobile, and we've talked about how getting into the Asian market was probably one of the reasons that they went with RS Mobile, because they need to do that. They're not in China yet, and part of the board is based in China, so that's a natural thing for them to want to do. Then you have RunePass, which they're looking at changing out the way that Treasure Hunter promos work and the amount of money they can bring in with that. So once again, another way of bringing money into the game. And then you have the rank and file RuneScape players, which is us, and we've been there for a long time. And, you know, these are the dedicated players. They might not like microtransactions, but they'll put up with it, I think, you know. So there's that. Now, when you put all these things together, you have the RS Mobile and you see the content, the lack of content that's come out in the last 2 months, and you also combine that with the fact that there's a new unannounced MMO in the development, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago on the podcast of what that could be, this signals to me that there is a big fork in the road ahead. One, either RunePass and RS Mobile are successful. And, you know, I'd say probably 75% RS Mobile, and that's 75% RS Mobile being successful in bringing Jagex into new markets and, you know, including the Asian market, and probably the new MMO as well in that regard. Now, let's call that at 75%. Now, let's say that it's entirely successful, and that combined with RunePass brings a lot of money and new players in. That's a success. You're going to see everything continue as it's been. But if RS Mobile doesn't bring new players in from these markets, specifically the Asian markets, and if it's not a run over the top hit, what we're seeing everything else happening, and if the unannounced MMO doesn't do that as well, or whatever it might be that's being worked on, if that doesn't happen, you have RunePass on the other hand, and the profits from last year. Now, what this signals to me is that anytime you have a company that is working to inflate its profits when, you know, they are already making enough money, they are either first seeking out major expansion, but we know that, you know, they have hired new developers, new graphic artists and whatnot. And that's fine. But if Rune Pass is truly a runaway in the amount of money it brings in, what you're ultimately going to see if either the unannounced MMO or whatever it is they're working on is unsuccessful, or if mobile doesn't, if mobile is not successful in bringing in new players and bringing the game into a new market, you're going to see the company change hands. And that's precisely what's happening with the increase in profits and trying out Rune Pass. Because the number one thing you do when you're looking to shop a company and sell a company is you're looking to raise its profits. If you can put a company on the market and say, we just had our record profits, here we are, we're selling the company. And that's the exit plan if RS Mobile or the new product they're working on doesn't work, is that the current board will likely sell their shares in the company and look for it to go to someone else. That's just the way it's working, and that's what the increase in profits tells me. It's just like what Apple did last week by increasing the number of shares and posting a record profit. They're looking to sell more shares in their company. And this is the same thing that's going to happen with RuneScape if either mobile or the new product they're working on is not successful.
So that could be quite the management shakeup, right?
And you know, that is the entire top of Jagex that would change with that, in all likelihood. You know, I would say that people like Mod Osborne and whatnot would probably still remain if they still remain entirely committed to RuneScape. But you know, you definitely see the CEO change, and you would definitely see the board change there. And that's what top level is to me: the CEO and board. So
I'm not. You know, I don't even know who is the board. Like, what's the I didn't even know we had a board.
Yeah, I can get you that.
Oh, right, okay. Now. So okay. See. That I didn't even know.
Yep, it's all there. And you know, it's actually really easy to find in the UK, believe it or not. There's a website called Companies House, and that hosts their annual reports and whatnot. The next report is due in September. Now, let's see. People and current officers. So current officers of Jagex. There are six current officers. Huang Yanhe, based in Cambridge. Philip Mansell, who is the CEO, Mod Pips. Jinju Pan, based in Cambridge. Xiaokang Wang, based in Shanghai. And Jianzing Yang, based also in Shanghai. So that's the current board of Jagex right now.
So that's all of the...
Those are the six people who make all the decisions pertaining to the company.
Right, and so they obviously came from the company that bought Jagex a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, you just have to look at this and you see where everyone is based off of, and you can see where the decisions are. And when you have a board that is entirely, you know, based of Chinese nationals, two of which are working in Cambridge with Mod Pips, that says precisely what they're aiming to do with the company. Move it into the Chinese market. And part of that is mobile and probably the new product. So if either of those are unsuccessful, they have this thing called Rune Pass that they were just jacking the profits up with this past quarter, where they'll be able to do that.
Okay.
And, you know, anyone who looks at companies will see this, and it's just a natural thing to happen. That doesn't mean RuneScape's going to shut down or anything necessarily bad is going to happen to it. It's just the way things work.
Well, you know what? I have two answers to that question then. One, if I look at it as the upper management, as you look at it as CEO and board, I don't care if that changes.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but I do want to keep Mon Osborne and Mon Mark and those guys that are doing a good job and have been, you know, and it's not, I don't want to see Mon Pips go anywhere either. It's just that if there were to be a change, I'm less, you know, I'm less attached to them as I am to the people we actually see and hear from and, you know, kind of get to know in a way.
Right. And see, the issue now is that it's such a big company monetarily wise. So the question is, what do you do with this? Like, who are you going to sell it off to? You know, you could take it public. You could. I don't know if that would be the right move.
Let's just hope they don't sell it to Facebook or EA. Either one of those would kill me.
EA.
EA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It'd be terrible.
Yeah. So, and I mean, it's a matter of perspective on this in terms of whether you're talking about the corporate top end, and that's the way I see it, or if you're talking about the people who build RuneScape top end, which is one thing, but also they still take their direction from corporate. So, mm-hmm. I mean, either way, and you know, if this doesn't answer the question, feel free to send in a follow up next week on this.
Yeah,
it was a good question.
Yeah.
If you guys want to send these in, you can email questions at rsbnb.com. You can also call or text 571-57-BNB, which is 571-572-2632. And finally, what might be easiest for most of you is you can just leave us a DM or at mention on Twitter at rsbnb. All right. Tech news time. So this was a bit of a shock, wasn't it, this week, today?
A little bit.
Discord is taking on Steam.
I was like, whoa. But here's the only thing that, like, it's kind of like a lot of us already have pretty extensive Steam libraries.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, it's a hard,
the good news for that is it'll be able to be used as a launcher for your games.
See, that's cool. And I mean, man, Discord, who would have thought? Like,
yeah, and you know, this is there's two ways of looking at this. Basically, actually, let me tell you what's happening first. Basically, Discord is now going to be able to sell games, and Discord is what we used to use for the show, and we should probably go back to it at some point. they're bringing out a store beta, which is actually rolling out in Canada first, and it'll allow users to buy games from publishers like THQ and Deep Silver, and of course, THQ, well known for Saints Row.
But Canada first, Shane?
Yeah, I know.
But you guys have more, like, deer than you have people. Like, what?
So, they're basically billing this as Xbox Live Gold, and you'll need Discord Nitro to be able to take advantage of this from the very beginning of it, though it'll roll out to everyone later on. And, you know, you'll be able to buy games from here, and they're targeting indie publishers first, so independent game publishers. And the idea behind this is that if you're an indie game publisher, you'll just be able to say, hey, I want to publish my game here. And, you know, if you have a good product, Discord will actually fund your game and pay you money to be on their store.
Will that add some kind of quality control that we don't always have in
Steam?
Other platforms?
Yes. And see, that's the really good side of it, is that it'll help indie developers and whatnot, and it'll remove all the garbage that's on Steam, probably. Well, it won't remove garbage on Steam, but you know what I mean. It'll be a fresh start, and they'll have a different way of curating. That's the one way of looking at it. The other way, to me, it doesn't make sense from a business point of view, because Discord is a company that has been solely funded by venture capitalists, people that invest in a company hoping to make a profit later. And if you take venture capitalism funding, you effectively become a slave to those venture capitalists, because you do need to find a way to make your product make money. And that's why we see Discord Nitro, and now why, of course, we're seeing this. So one side of it sees it as being good for game developers, indie game developers in particular. The other side of me sees it as Discord saying, hey, 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 pay us money, pay us money. So,
well, yeah.
And I mean, when you think about what they offer video chat, text chat, and audio chat, and people don't need to pay a damn cent for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think
it's
that's
not
okay.
They're selling games
for your money.
So, the question is this going to be successful? It's going to have a game launcher for opening your other games that are not bought from this. So that's good.
I think it depends because – so one of my fears when it comes to this stuff is the way games work now, we don't buy our games. We kind of buy a license to play our games. So, you know, I would – you know, when it's something so new – I worry that I would lose my games, hence my money, if it's something went, if Discord went under. I don't worry about that quite as much with Steam, you know, or some of the other platforms, like what is it, Tencent, I think it's the
Origin.
Other one. Origin, yeah. Origin will never die, it's EA. Forget that. But with something new, I think that is a consideration.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see what other game developers they get on here because, you know, all it's going to need is one hit. Imagine if it's the next Fortnite.
Oh, man. Boom. Boom.
So, I mean, there's good that can come out of this, but if it flops, you know, Discord's going to have to say, okay, how do we recoup this investment? Where do we go next? And that's where things get interesting. So. I don't think anything bad can come from this right now, but, you know, it's just got to watch where it goes after that. So, yeah, but it'll be interesting to try. I don't know if there's much else to say at this point since we don't have our hands on it yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's cool. And, I mean, if they do this as well as they've done their other services, then I think there's reason to be optimistic because I feel like Discord's, you know, their voice chat and their audio chat, I mean, or their video, I mean, it's all works really,
it's all
really,
really
well.
Good.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. So, you know, I'm
like the only reason we're not using Discord right now is because I can get a full video feed out of Skype.
Ish. When it's not dropping.
Well, it's a stream, but anyways. So, I think we can move on to our next piece of tech news from here.
Yeah, what do we got next?
Android 9, it was previously known as Android 9P, or Pi, as they have now revealed it. And, you know, it's not P as in P, it's P as in Pi, as in the letter P, Pi. So, that's what they went with for this. And, you know, we're not Android users here, Tanis. We're not. So,
no, we're not.
And I think when it comes down to it at the end of the day, there's both reasons why we prefer our platforms and why we prefer iOS, right? Why we stick with iOS. You stick with it for accessibility. I stick with it because it's my ecosystem and it just works with the Mac and everything. So that's why I stick with it. But Android 9 Pi is rolling out this week on Google Pixel, Pixel 2, or the Essential Phone, which is an Android phone that is very, very bare minimum. And, you know, eventually you're going to get Pi on your Android phone, but it might take a while. And that's one of the things that this new release of Android actually aims to fix in the long term is there's a internal project at Google known as Project Treble, which basically says that they're going to decouple the operating system layer from the OEM layer. So basically that means if you buy a phone from Samsung, Google will be able to update the operating system without needing to go through Samsung for that, which is what I have been saying they need to do for a long, long time, which is what Apple does, is basically, you know, control the operating system on the phone and not have to worry about whether the carrier pushes the update or not. So the groundwork for Pi and Project Treble comes in with Pi. So that's definitely a positive for this release. Other changes for this release include gesture-based navigation, as we saw on the iPhone X, and, you know, getting rid of various buttons and whatnot and back button and home button and whatnot on the Android screen. So I think when it comes down to it, I think that just seems to be the general way things are going these days, right?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me.
And there's also lots of little personalization changes too, using machine learning and AI, so that if you know dim the brightness of the screen at a certain time of day, it'll know that, hey, I might just dim the brightness for you now. So
my new phone did that and I hated it. I turned that off real quick.
The True Tone screen.
Yeah, it was like you'd have 5 seconds and then there went your screen. You're like, quit. I'm already blind. Stop.
Yeah, I use the True Tone, but I don't use the Night Shift. But you know, it's that one is based more on that. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with this and if the users find it a good way of interacting with their devices. So, and you know, this is why I say to anyone who's looking for an Android, get a Pixel, get a Pixel 2. You'll get the OS updates exactly when they come out, and that's what you want. You want Android to basically be as fresh as it can and have it be the way Google wanted, right? You don't want to have one of those broken third-party experiences, and Pi goes a long way to fixing that. So we'll have to wait and see what happens in the next coming days, because their previous version, Oreo, was only adopted on 11% of all Android devices before Pi shipped, whereas iOS 12 is running on 79% of iOS devices.
Well, so iOS doesn't give you much of a choice, right?
So,
will take it.
In some ways, Google is pioneering a release that can make it a little less innocuous to install these updates. So. All right. And this next piece of tech news, oh boy. Oh boy. I've been waiting for this one for, I don't know. I don't know if I ever thought that this would happen.
I didn't think this would ever happen. Like, this kind of came out of left field, and it actually kind of brings me back to my teenage years, because that's when this was on. So it's kind of cool.
Patrick Stewart is coming back as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, or at least Jean-Luc Picard. We don't know if he's going to be a captain or what in a new Star Trek series. It was announced this past weekend at Star Trek Las Vegas. It'll be set 20 years after the last movie, which was Nemesis, which was set in 2379 in universe. So that puts it to 2399. So that's a good time period break.
And, you know, I never watched any of the movies. Am I going to be like totally lost? Because I only watched the next gen. That was like what I watched.
Yeah, you should probably watch the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They're. The middle two are good. The first one's the last one's and that's why getting this Captain Picard series that's centered around him or some aspect of that area and time is going to be good, because the last movie really didn't tie it off in a decent enough way of what happened. And after that, you know, we had Enterprise, and that only ran 4 seasons, and that was a prequel, so that didn't really provide any resolution on that.
Yeah, then we had, I'm excited.
Then we had the reboot movie starting in 2009, but that was an alternate timeline. So once again,
that wasn't a prequel either. That was alternate timeline.
Yes, that was alternate timeline.
Now I'm confused.
Yeah, yeah. I can explain that to you at some point. So really, if you have enjoyed Star Trek, the only new Star Trek and the only sense of continuity you had after the last movie was Star Trek Online. But that isn't necessarily considered canon. So we're finally going to have some questions answered about what happened in the main universe after the events in the Star Trek 2009 movie and after the events of Star Trek Nemesis and whatnot going forward. We don't have a release date. There's no script. There's no cast. The only cast that we know of is Patrick Stewart. And, you know, he made the announcement himself on Twitter as well, saying what a great joy it is to be able to pick the character up again. So we're actually seeing this happen, and it's going to happen sooner rather than later. So this is a very, very fun
cool. It's like my absolute favorite character of Star Trek.
Oh, really? Picard?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, then you should definitely watch the movies then.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, this was, as I said, I didn't know if we'd ever have this kind of news on here, and if we did, who knew it would be, you know, so soon that we would hear from this. And we talked about the potential rumor of such a thing, and I don't normally discuss rumors on the show, but they seem fairly well substantiated. But lo and behold, here we are a couple of weeks later actually discussing that it's going to happen. So,
and luckily, he still looks exactly the same.
He certainly does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And of course, this will be on CBS All Access. So I think what happened is they saw what a success Discovery was, because if you looked at the online streaming ratings when Discovery was on, it was the top rated streaming show. I think the only thing that beat it was Game of Thrones.
Naturally.
So. It just
showed. Game of Thrones, it's not really fair though. Game of Thrones has boobs.
And you know, it goes to show the power of Star Trek fans and whatnot, because when you have something that's live streamed, you get the results right away, how many are watching, and it must have been convincing, because I know that after the first two episodes of Discovery aired, just the amount of money that the series made from Netflix internationally was enough to make the series profitable.
Oh, was that Netflix? I thought it was on another platform.
It's Netflix internationally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Netflix internationally. And all of the international people made that show profitable. And that doesn't include the CBS All Access in the US.
That's where it was for us then, right?
Or the on-air runs actually on TV in Canada. So very profitable. And it makes sense why they want more of it then.
Mm-hmm.
So very pleased with this. Anyways, I figured we'd end tech news on a good note this week. No Facebook censorship.
No Facebook stories.
No Facebook and bugs or anything like that.
We avoided big, ugly elephants, so I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy with tech news this week.
All righty. Well, then, moving on to other things, our August skill of the month is running, and it's a construction skill of the month, so let's be honest, Tannis. Who's interested in that?
Hey, that's my favorite skill.
Really?
Yeah, it used to be. It was. But I kept waiting for this rework that never
Parnassius never is happened. In first place with 9.2 million XP gained and has been gaining XP on a linear trajectory. Second place, we got Sorensen 57 with 6.3 million XP gained. And in third place, we have the RR Man with 621,000 XP. Boy, 9.2 million construction XP 8 days in. You think that's going to continue?
If their bank continues, it all depends on that. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. I don't know. I give up. I would not even dare to try and compete in this. So.
No, that's rough. We're down, by the way.
No.
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to get her back. All right, so we're going to move on to some achievements of the week right now. So starting off this week, there's our old friend Paul. You remember Paul?
He's the one who got married, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the one who got married in-game for a competition and whatnot. And I always bring that up. And might as well bring it up again because it's an achievement, right?
Well, when you have Paul, you kind of have to bring that up.
All right, so he got 99 agility on August 8th. Next up is Darth Marth with 99 divination on the 6th. 1, 2, 3, 4 were cool with 99 Slayer on the 6th as well. Then we have Duke Juker on the 5th with 99 magic and 99 ranged. And then finally, rounding out the 5th, we have Thaxi with 120 Slayer. Very nice.
All right. Very good job, guys. We also have Tasty Romeo with 120 Dungeoneering on August the 5th. We have Matt's 374 with 99 Invention on August 5th. And we have Jubaka with 99 Magic on August 3rd. And I will not do my Chewbacca impression because it's terrible.
Please don't.
We also have Snow Light with 99 Prayer on August 2nd. We have Road Sick with 99 Thieving on August 2nd. And Cyan Paneer?
Yeah, I think Paneer is the way it goes.
Paneer with 99 Fletching on August 2nd. So good job, everybody. A lot of nice achievements there.
Very, very nice. Very, very nice. All right. I think it's time for a pick of the week. I haven't done one of these in a while.
Yeah. What you got, Shane?
Well, you know, just because I want to just provide something to the cross-platform folks here, I am going to suggest a Windows app, a free Windows app that everyone can get. It's called Microsoft Whiteboard. Now, you can use this on the Surface, as you know, you might expect. It's going to provide you the best experience because you have touch and whatnot. But it also works on your PC. And basically what Whiteboard is it's a little application that's for free from the Windows Store. It lets you draw with markers and whatnot and, you know, annotate things and mark things up. So you could stream it online if you want. But what it also lets you do that is really, really interesting and useful to me. And, you know, I'm waiting for there to be cross-platform versions of this so we can share it and use it on tablets and whatnot, because that's when it's going to become truly useful to me. Is that you can also embed screenshots, you can embed text on it, and then what you can do is you can then take a pen and you can draw on that. So there will be occasions where I'm working on a website or something and I want to do it collaboratively. So what I'll do is I'll take a screenshot and I'll go into preview on the Mac here and, you know, write on it and, you know, make some markups and make some suggestions and whatnot. And then I'll, you know, share that as an image to people. But what I can do with this, providing they have Microsoft Whiteboard, is I can take a screenshot of the website and I can draw directly on there and they'll see it if they have the application. Or, if need be, I can pull it out as a PNG image and just send it off, you know, via message or an email, and they'll see it that way as well. And what's more is that it can also be used for drawing on it. You know, if you just want to draw and you just want to do like a quick little website mock-up, like a quick little scribble of what the website could look like, you could do that as well. And there's little fields for notes and whatnot as well in terms of text. So that's a thing. And what I truly want to use this for once there becomes a cross-platform version, it's on just on my Windows computer now, and I use it for this, is, you know, there's little projects that I'm working on in games. I have little projects I'm working on in RS, little projects that I'm working on in Star Trek Online. So what I want to do is I want to have a little picture of the project, then some notes associated with it, and then just use it as if it's an actual little pin board, as you would normally have on your wall. So you can use it for that too. And it's... you know, so extensible that you can use it for practically anything you want. So that's why I think Microsoft Whiteboard is a good pick of the week. And everyone who has a Windows device and eventually on tablets just will be able to pick this up for free. And it's just a good collaboration application. So Microsoft Whiteboard available on the Windows Store. So that's the pick of the week.
Awesome. That sounds cool. I might have to get it. Can we get it for desktop?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, cool.
Desktop.
Yeah, I'm
absolutely
gonna grab that for that.
Windows 10.
Cool.
Windows 10.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
And I mean, just imagine if you had your desktop and you had a Microsoft Surface. You already have the app available, and you can just draw on it as if it was a piece of paper. So it's really bridging that gap between paper and not.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's the pick of the week. Microsoft Whiteboard. What have you been up to on RS?
Lots of stuff. I tried out the Divination Cape.
Okay.
And, added the Divination Cape to the Maxcape. Mm, so, mm-hmm. It was awesome. I think I did a little bit of fishing, a little bit of, GE. I was going to buy some supplies and then realized it was too close to the DXP announcement. So that wasn't good. and a few little Slayer tasks here and there. I think I'm going to be out of town, but if for some reason I am not, then I want to get into a position where I can finish off 120 Slayer on double XP.
That'll be a good one.
So, and I'm only, you know, like, I don't even know how far I am. I'm 14, 15 mil. So it's not all that much. So.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. How about yourself, Shane?
Well, you know, this week on RS, you know, I did Clue Scrolls on the Clue Scroll weekend. Nothing to write home about. I don't think I had anything worth more than 500K.
Mm.
I did have a couple masters in there too, so that was nice. But beyond that, not much on that. You know, just been mainly been doing energy gathering this week with the same divination thing, stacking that up, the grape farming and whatnot. So it's actually good the double XP announcement came when it did, because I had a stack of toad flax that needed to sell. So that was good.
Oh, yeah.
But beyond that, you know, just basically money making at this point. That's the way it works with Herblore, I find, is that, you know, why train it if it's not a double XP weekend?
Oh, for sure.
Because it's just so expensive. So expensive. But
are you going to use your grapes for actual training now with double XP coming? Or are you going to make even more money?
I think they're going to be used to make money with Elite Dungeon 2 coming out next week and Super Sarah Brews.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be – oh, they're going to jump up. Yeah, dude, going to be making that money. That money.
That's right.
Yeah.
So definitely that. And, you know, I'd also like to just point out a bit of an anniversary here that, you know, you guys might not be aware of and needs to be talked about here. And, you know, I'm obviously going to kill the stream by changing screens like that, but – on August 6th, 2004, it was our founding anniversary.
Shit, dude.
Our founding anniversary at RSB&B. 14 years later, and RSB&B is still trudging along here. And
yeah,
I would just like to share this with everyone here, and I think this is a good way to end the show, is just a little bit of a screenshot of what our website looked like in August 2004. This was our first RSB&B website. You can see the About section, the calculators, the News section, signatures, and of course the feedback form. And the website is, you know, continually evolved since then. But August 6, 2004 was the day. The podcast followed in 2005, Informer in 2006, and the rest was history from there on out. So we've been around for that long, and I think we have made some good decisions with the Patreon stuff this year, and we're in a prime position to continue on. So,
man, you know, 14 years, that's huge. It's huge.
Yeah. RSBNB.com. But I believe that's it for this episode. Anything else?
No, I just want to thank everybody for coming out. Thanks for coming out to our first live stream.
A couple of bumps along the road.
It was a little bumpy.
It's like one of those Russian tanks, you know? They're good. They get the job done. But you go over bumps, you're gonna, you know, hit your head and on the ceiling and whatnot, and yeah, you're gonna get hurt.
And you know what? It'll improve, just like, you know, our video shows just launched and they've been doing, you know, well. We didn't really run into too many bumps with them, so we're bound to run into a bump here or there, but I'm really happy, and I really want to thank everyone for coming out and doing that, and thanks again to all the Patreon supporters, and that's it for me, Shane. So
all right.
I think we call that a wrap.
That is indeed true. So if you guys want full show notes, you can find that at update.rsbnb.com. If you want to chat with us in-game, friends chat, bits, bytes, Twitter at rsbnb for questions or follow-up to your questions if you sent one in. And, of course, the Patreon at patreon.com/rsbnb. And we'll be back next week with David for the Dragonkin Laboratory, Elite Dungeon 2. Take care, everyone.
See ya.